Good morning. Many of you may have noticed I'm not standing up here in a suit and a tie. I did that on purpose. My aim is to kind of soften you up a little bit so that Greg can do kind of a business casual thing if he wants to sometime. So anyway, this is I'm a trailblazer. That's all I can tell you. The thing about the shoes was true though. That was I was going to wear my dress shoes and I tried to put them on and that wasn't going to happen. And I kind of went through all my other shoes and none of them would fit except for my tennis shoes or soccer shoes that I coach in. And so that's why I'm wearing those now. So anyway, I didn't mean to be quite that casual, but there you go. I wanted to talk today about Thanksgiving. I had such a wonderful time last night at the Thanksgiving dinner, it was such a blessing to hear the testimonies of those that were in attendance there. It was really, to me, that's what makes that particular event so special, in a way. It does kind of impress upon me sometimes that maybe we should share a little more often with one another about those things and maybe provide other avenues. So I don't think you're going to see a Thanksgiving dinner in May, but maybe we'll try to plan some other opportunities for testimony throughout the year, and that will help us connect more than just once a year in that way. And I think that's important for us as members of the body of Christ to grow together in that way. And I think that does help us grow together when we understand more about what each other are going through. When we talk about Thanksgiving, and in particular the way that it's celebrated here in the United States, I started to do a little bit of historical research. Now, this is odd for anybody who knows me because I really hate history for the most part. That was the one class I could always count on to get a C in. When I was in school, whether it was in high school or college, it didn't matter. I could study, I could not study. Either way, I'd end up with a C. So I chose to not study. But I started looking into Thanksgiving, and I thought I'd raise some questions for you, see how much you understand about the historical background of the holiday of Thanksgiving that we celebrate here in the United States. And then tie that a little bit more to the scriptures and how we should observe it as Christians here in the United States. Thanksgiving Day became a national holiday at different times. It was actually observed by different states in different times, usually as a fall thing, but it had dates anywhere from September, October, November originally. There wasn't really one set date there. Lots of presidents proclaimed days of Thanksgiving. Anybody guess what the first Thanksgiving, which president proclaimed the first day of Thanksgiving? Usually we attribute that to Abraham Lincoln, and he was the one that made it a kind of a regular thing. It was after he proclaimed Thanksgiving Day that it became an every year sort of thing. But really, George Washington was the first one to do it. And he did it on multiple occasions. I went back and looked at some of the things people are saying about Thanksgiving today. And it was really odd because when I looked on some of the websites and so forth, there were a lot of people that were praising Thanksgiving as being the one real secular holiday. Well, think about that for a minute. Thanksgiving kind of implies that you're giving thanks to someone, right, for what we have. The very name kind of implies the existence of God, but they get around that. They say, well, we're giving thanks to the earth for providing stuff for us. We're giving thanks to other people in our lives and things like that. But that's really not the spirit of the holiday that was enacted for the nation, and I don't think that's the way we should address it as Christians, certainly. I want to read to you a couple of the paragraphs that were in some of the enacting legislation that was there. When George Washington proclaimed the first Thanksgiving Day, it was actually on Thursday, November the 26th. It's interesting. It's always been Thursday. I don't know why that was. Maybe somebody else knows that better than I do, but it seems like it was always done on a Thursday, November the 26th. Here's what George Washington said about why he wanted to proclaim a Thanksgiving Day. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. Whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Therefore, I do now recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted to the people of these states, to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. George Washington first enacted this Thanksgiving Day shortly after the conclusion of the war with the British people, shortly after the enactment of our Constitution. As you may recall, many states had developed individual state constitutions actually before we had a national one. But once the national one was finally ratified, he proclaimed this particular day of Thanksgiving. He listed several reasons for it. He said one of the things he wanted to accomplish with this, he says that we may all unite in rendering unto Him, God, our sincere and humble thanks for this kind care and protection of the people of this country, particularly in coming through that war, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war. For the degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we've been able to establish the constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty which we are blessed, and the means that we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge. In general, for all the great and various favors which He hath been pleased to confer upon us. Does that sound like a secular holiday to you? Because it doesn't really sound that way to me. At least five different times he mentions God in his address. He also talks about the fact that we should pray as part of this Thanksgiving celebration. He specifically says that we might unite the most in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to render our national government a blessing to all people, and to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue. Doesn't really sound like he even believed in separation of church and state, did he? There. This was a national holiday that George Washington wanted to institute to promote our relationship to God, and to give us the opportunity to thank Him for all that He's done for us. In 1863, During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the national holiday that we now celebrate. It was kind of a hit and miss thing until then. Some years they'd do it, some years they wouldn't. But after Abraham Lincoln proclaimed it this time, it has been celebrated each and every year by our nation since then. When Abraham Lincoln proclaimed his Day of Thanksgiving, he proclaimed it as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And he wrote it this way. He says, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties to which are so constantly enjoyed, we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added, which are not of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever watchful providence of Almighty God." So it is important to take time occasionally to sit down and take stock of what you have. Of the things that God has blessed us with. Abraham Lincoln said it was important for us to take stock of even just the sky and the world around us that provides us with food and sustenance. He said we overlook the things day by day that come into our lives that God provides. And it takes that day of introspection to really account for those and to weigh them properly in our lives. And so he says, take this time to do that. He went on and mentioned a lot of information, a lot of things that were particularly relevant to the Civil War, which I'm not going to repeat to you here. But he begins to conclude and he makes these statements here and he says, "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked these great things. These are the gracious gift of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife which we are now unavoidably engaged. And fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to seal the wounds of this nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the fulfilled enjoyment of peace, harmony, and tranquility and union." That's how Abraham Lincoln instituted the National Day of Thanksgiving. I can't read that and see a secular holiday in there. When we look into our hearts during this time, when we start planning our Thanksgiving celebrations, I hope that we will plan opportunities for introspection. I think the dinners are great. Don't get me wrong. I love Thanksgiving dinner. But that time when we're around the dinner table and celebrating the bounty that God has provided for us, I think it's also important that we remember Him, and in particular remember His plan for us. Thanksgiving now has been associated with parades, football games, and other things. And none of those are wrong. I can remember watching Thanksgiving Day Parade when I was young. And it was fun. In limited doses. I love to watch the football games. And I remember going to my grandmother's house and having Thanksgiving dinner and watching the Bears get beat really badly on Thanksgiving Day, because that's who we supported in Chicago back then. And those were good times. But that's not really the essence of what Thanksgiving is. So when we look at Thanksgiving, let's think of Thanksgiving in a couple of things. Breaking it down, of course, it's the giving of thanks. To whom? To God. Look with me in the book of Colossians. It's interesting to note that in Paul's epistles, he mentions thanksgiving or the giving of thanks or things he is thankful for in every single one of his letters. If you look at his prayers, there is an aspect of thanksgiving in every single prayer that he records in the Scriptures. I think that's important because this should be a regular part of our lives, not just at this day that we set apart for Thanksgiving, although it should certainly be a big part of that, but this is something we need to do on a regular basis. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. How we received Christ Jesus? We received Him by grace through faith. We should walk in Him by grace through faith. We should walk in Him rooted and built up and established in the faith. And we should walk in a way abounding in the faith with thanksgiving. The more we understand about God's plan and purpose for us as members of the body of Christ, the more we have to be thankful for. The more we understand about His plan, the more we understand what He's done for us. Both God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should be a part of our regular walk, and it should be part of our regular prayer life. I like the way he kind of summarizes this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. A lot of you probably know this verse, maybe have memorized this verse. It's a great verse to memorize. It can come up in all kinds of daily decisions that we have to make. And it says this, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What a wonderful verse to know in our walk, especially. When we're confronted with a decision, is this something I should be doing? Is this something I should not be doing? If this is something I'm doing, or if this is something I'm about to say, if I can do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, then by Him do it. But if it's not something I can really say I'm doing in the name of the Lord Jesus, if it's not something that's really appropriate for that, then the decision's equally clear. Maybe I should pass up that opportunity and do something differently. Something that I can do consistent with that verse. So thanksgiving, I think, is owed to God. What do we thank Him for? Well, first of all, I think it's perfectly acceptable, I think, to thank Him for our physical blessings. Right? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. A lot of our Thanksgiving celebration, as we celebrate it here in the United States, typically centers around food. Here's what Paul says about that. At verse 3, he's talking about people who are commanding people to do things in the name of men's religion and men's decisions and philosophies. And he says that they cause them to abstain with foods from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. The implication being they don't let them do that, right? By those who believe and know the truth. All foods can be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Look at verse 4. For every creature of God is good. And here I think it's implied good for food. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Why do we pray before meals? Why should we pray particularly before a Thanksgiving meal? Because it's proper to do so. In fact, it's required of us to do so. So enjoy those physical blessings that He's given to us. And I don't think that just means food. In the scripture reading we read this morning, He talked about being enriched by the people that were around us, being enriched by the fruits of other Christians' labors and their righteousness, their righteous acts. I think it's perfectly acceptable to be thankful for the things that other people have done for us. Those that are around us, our families, our friends, and other physical blessings that He's given to us. Shelter, all kinds of things. But I think it's also especially important that we be thankful for the spiritual blessings that He's given to us. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. I think it's easier for us to take account of the physical blessings that we have. And certainly fine and appropriate to do so. And I think it's something God expects us to do. But I think it's easier to neglect the spiritual blessings that He's given to us. Look at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Are we thankful for what we have in Christ? Just spend some time on Thanksgiving Day thinking about all that we've been given because we've put our faith and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. It says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having been made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things, according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. What are the spiritual blessings? He just listed about 9 of them there for us. He has given all these things to us simply because we are placed in Christ. In Christ, we are made holy and without blame before God. On my own, I'm not that way. I'm certainly not holy and without blame before God. But in Christ, I am. In Christ, I have been adopted as a son by Jesus Christ unto Himself. And He has made me accepted in the Beloved. I've been accepted as a child of God because of my position in Christ. In Christ, I have redemption through His blood. In Christ, I have the forgiveness of sins. In Christ, I am given all wisdom and prudence, because He made known to me the mystery of His will. In Christ, I have obtained an inheritance. In Christ, I trusted, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of His salvation. When we sit down around the Thanksgiving meal and the Thanksgiving table, do we thank Him for our very salvation? Boy, I hope we do. I hope we will. I hope we continue to do that. And that shouldn't be just a once a year thing. That should be a very often sort of thing. A daily thing. Right? In Christ, having believed, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Because of my position in Christ, I am sealed and I cannot be taken out of His family. In Christ, I can count on the redemption of the purchased possession. In Christ, I can count on the hope that Christ will come back for me. And He will redeem me from this body of sin. He will give me a glorious body like His body. And He will escort me to heaven where I will ever be with the Lord. And each of us has each of these blessings that He has already given to us in Christ. So we should be thankful for the spiritual blessings, particularly those that we have in Him. But I think there are some others. Look at with me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. He goes on and he says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers." I think it's appropriate for us to be thankful for other believers. I should be thankful for you. And you should be thankful for me. And we should be thankful for what we have done in our faith, We should be thankful for our love that we share with one another. In 1 Thessalonians, he kind of opens his letter to them saying this. He says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father." You know, the people in Thessalonica were under great persecution for their faith. Their Christianity was not easy. Their Christianity came at a cost. There are people today who are still in that position. There are people in this country that are still in that position. There are many more who are in that position in foreign lands. And I think it's appropriate for us to give thanks to God for those people, for their work. For the work of faith that's being done by believers everywhere. For their labor of love. And for their patient reliance on the hope that we all share. Finally, look with me in Romans chapter 16. And verse 3. At the end of many of Paul's letters, he gives greetings from people that are with him to the people that he's writing to and vice versa. Here he says in chapter 16, verse 3, he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who also risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." I think it's appropriate for you and I to thank one another for our work, especially for the sacrifices we make for one another. For the times when we think of each other and we mention one another in each other's prayers. For the times we work side by side in the ministry of the gospel. For the times when we labor together in fellowship. I think it's thoroughly appropriate that we not only thank God for those things, but that we should be thankful to one another for those. So I thank you this morning for giving me this opportunity to talk about Thanksgiving with you, about its true meaning, about how we should observe it in our Christianity. I'm thankful for all that you've done for me, the encouragement that you give me, for all that you've done for my family throughout the years. And I'm just so thankful to be part of this work, this body of believers, this portion of the body of Christ. And I hope you are thankful for each other as well, and that together we raise our thanks to God. Because without Him, none of it would happen. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, none of it would be possible. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunities that you've given to us here just to return thanks to you. Sometimes we get too caught up in our daily lives. Sometimes we get too caught up in even the work of the ministry to take time to recognize who provides us with the benefits and the opportunities. Thankful for godly leaders like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. We know that they had their faults too. They were sinful men saved by grace just like we are. But I'm thankful for the words that they preserved and for their foresightfulness in providing us a day of Thanksgiving. That we can just set aside and think of little else than what you have done for us, both physically and spiritually, and what you have accomplished in us through one another. And we pray that you would find us faithful in the returning of thanks to you and to one another in the coming weeks and throughout the coming year. Pray that you would help us to remember each one and to personally thank them so that we might be obedient to your word. All these things we pray in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.